For WKU Public Radio, I'm Joe Corcoran. Higher education in Kentucky will face some tough budget cuts in the months ahead. Today, we get the perspective of the president of the University of Kentucky about budget issues and his view of the future of education in the Commonwealth. Dr. Eli Capiluto talks with Dan Modlin.
Obviously, Dr. Capiluto, we've heard a lot of talk about budget cuts for higher education again this year. From your perspective, how damaging might these cuts be?
Well, it puts further pressures on our university. We're going to be faced with tough choices. And I think the other reality that most in higher education are recognizing is we've entered a period characterized as the new normal, where not only this year, but maybe for the foreseeable future, we may face flat budgets from traditional sources, namely state dollars and federal research and development dollars. So we're going to have to earn our way out of this.
Mm-hmm. And that's, I suppose, easier said than done. One of the remedies, I guess, that has been used in part in the past is tuition increases to try to help make up for state cuts. And yet universities are under pressure not to raise tuition at this point.
I think that tuition increases are the last things we want to consider and something we would do most reluctantly. The affordability of college for students at UK is a key issue for us. We have well over the vast majority of our students are on some form of financial aid.
Mm-hmm. As you look to the future, I wonder if you might talk a little bit about the residence hall agreement that was just signed. As I understand, and correct me if I'm wrong, but this was a rather unique agreement in which University of Kentucky, in a sense, turned to kind of an outside vendor to provide supplies for the residence hall services. Is that correct?
It's unique in some ways, but more common in many respects. This public-private partnership has gone on across college campuses probably for the last 40 years. And in fact, the company with whom we engaged put up their first residence hall at the University of North Carolina, I believe, in the 70s, and it still operates and maintains that residence hall. So it's not new. This company, like competitors they have, has built, I think, over 40,000 beds that it still manages. It's in 30 states, 30 different campuses. They happen to build the last residence halls erected at the University of Louisville.
Mm-hmm.
What was unique is we decided if we wanted to rapidly replace our residence halls where, you know, the vast majority, in fact, out of 6,000 beds, only 600 are modern. If we wanted to quickly correct that, because we have excess demand for those modern beds, how could we do it most rapidly? We decided to put out an RFP to gauge the interest of this kind of arrangement to provide the highest quality, most affordable bed. And it turns out that the modern living learning we want, we can achieve at rates that appear to be less expensive than if we had done them ourselves. So we're excited about this.
And, of course, that's a key to recruiting students. Students have come to expect modern facilities with high-tech capabilities and this sort of thing as they look at schools.
They expect it. Their parents expect it, and for the right reasons. It's not just the amenities. Our data show that those students who live in residence halls, their likelihood of returning the next year in good academic shape is 86%. When they live off campus, it's just 66%. So these are young adults, and in those early years, they benefit greatly from not only our outstanding faculty, but the student and residential life that we can provide. We are an innovator when it comes to living, learning communities. A lot of learning takes place in our residence halls. We wanted new residence halls that would better lend themselves to that kind of 21st century learning.
As you look across the country, budget cuts are pretty commonplace. Some states much more severe than what we're hearing about in Kentucky. Do you think more and more universities will be looking to outside private partners, not just for residence halls, but maybe for other services as well in the future?
I think more and more will look to residence halls. I'm not sure about trends in those other areas yet.
As you look to the role of Kentucky universities, having been here now for correct me, how many months?
I'm not counting. Okay. It's been great. I think it's 7 or 8 months, something like that.
Having been here for several months, if you could give us your perspective on what you see as some of the directions higher education in Kentucky may need to take in the future to help meet the demands of a changing workforce. As companies demand different kinds of workers, there's a lot of talk about job creation. What do you see as the role for universities in Kentucky in helping to train the workers with the right skills?
Sure. First of all, as a newcomer with a fresh perspective, let me say that there is a lot that Kentucky should be proud of. I know we tend to focus on the things we want to improve, but I'm going to encourage everybody to pause and congratulate ourselves for serious steps we've taken. First of all, since arriving in Kentucky, I know we want to be accountable to our taxpayers. We set high standards. We're trying to measure what we do. We look at those outcomes. We try to improve upon those. I see that at the University of Kentucky. I see it at Western. I see it at all across our sister universities. So this commitment to improvement and accountability is part of the culture in Kentucky, and that is going to guide us well in the future.
You've been in the Bowling Green area as we talk, obviously. Are there some messages that you would care to share with people on air here today about some of the things you're telling people about the future of the University of Kentucky and higher education in Kentucky?
Well, let me tell you about the future that I got a glimpse of. In early January, I got a letter from Emma, a second grade student at Richardsville Elementary School. She invited me to visit. I used to serve on a school board. One of the things I miss is, in my job, is visiting schools. So I accepted this invitation, and I just had a powerful experience. It is a reminder of what Kentucky is doing to prepare that next generation of leaders. This is a new elementary school. This is a school where I think 70% of the kids get support for the lunch that they receive. There is deep pride amongst the parents and teachers for what's going on there, great community support, and they have built a net zero school. And so they're not paying energy bills. They're getting credit every month. But what is fascinating when you tour that school, and I went on a tour by the energy team, and the energy team weren't adults. They were students. And they could explain to me how they are using geothermal energy, how the rooms were designed to maximize light and energy use, how when they walked me through their lunchroom, they could tell me about healthy meals, how they collect rainwater and purify that to not only water the grounds, but when it enters the water table and returns to our drinking sources, it's better purified. So the building engaged the students in learning, and you could just sense it in that school. And the curiosity that I saw today amongst those young people, I was deeply moved. And, I'm from a generation that's left a lot undone, and I am fully confident that these kids that we're educating in Kentucky are going to solve tomorrow's problems. So it was a very powerful morning for me.
Dr. Eli Capilouto, thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Dr. Eli Capilouto is the president of the University of Kentucky. For WKU Public Radio, this is Dan Modlin.